So, Phoenix FM, and here we are behind the main stage at Stand and Calling with Joe from Cabbage. Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, Steve. Thanks very much for having us on Phoenix FM. I am a huge fan of Bolton's famous Phoenix Club, so I just thought I'd mention that.
We have been asked about that before. I mean, Manchester generally, in terms of the scene and everything else, you tell people you're from Manchester, but there's so much going on there. It must be venturing outside of that area as well for festivals and stuff. You're spreading your wings a bit, are you?
Yes, it's very nice to travel the lengths and depths of the country. I often, when I was a very young child, the way I'd fall asleep was to pretend I was in some form of a mode of transport, i.e. a plane, a car, a boat, and then I'd pretend that I was in motion and then I'd fall asleep. So in that sense, it's a dream come true to be on this purple star sleeper bus we're on and have my own little bunk. And obviously I'm in a band with my best friends and playing songs that I like to play, so it's marvellous.
So a band with your best friends, I mean, how long have you been together now as a band? And you are all from the same sort of area then?
I'm a bit of a mongrel in terms of location. I was born in Burnley and grew up in Yorkshire. The band started, it begun as simply a project. Lee had begun writing songs under the guise of the Eastern Soma Kids, which was a project. He was a drummer in another band at the time, but he had grand ideas about this project. And obviously, me, Owen and Lee at the time have always been best friends. I've known them for 6 years, and we always thought I thought that we didn't have a singer, so therefore we can't do it. This was only a couple of years ago, but me and Owen began writing songs together. Lee had written Kevin. So me and Owen wrote Dinner Lady. Obviously, it was a poem that I performed at a few open mic nights around Salford, and then Owen had a riff that was dying to be used, so the two things merged, and then Contactless Payment was a similar debacle. Lee had written Kevin, and Owen and Lee wrote White Noise, and I wrote Austerity Language, which was the first song we jammed as a band, and that was in around June of 2015. Lee then did a European tour for a month or two with his other band. So we continued to rehearse, and then we did our first official gig on November the 1st, I think, 2015. So, yeah, we're relatively new to it all. This is pretty much my first venture as a musician.
And this year, your first venture then round the festival scenes, and we're in this glorious motorhome.
Yeah, it's very nice. Well, we actually, we were very lucky to do a lot of festivals last year. This was a pretty fateful weekend this time last year. We did Kendall Calling and then Why Not, but I won't go into such sordid detail. We were very lucky. We just timed it. We put Kevin out on, I think, the 22nd of December, and then the full EP followed by February, I believe. So we just timed it just in time to scrape onto some of the bills last summer. We did the Isle of Wight Festival, Leeds Festival, Liverpool Sound City, several really, and it was a very very good summer. My dad had he sold his Volvo estate, the family car, God bless him, and bought an LDV Passion wagon, and he drove us around in it. But this year, obviously, last year we were very much we just jumped onto the bill kind of at the last minute through pleading, I guess, and on the basis that we were kind of all right. But this year, to be playing to crowds of people know the songs, you know, it's very invigorating and satisfying. So.
And people do know the songs because you're building up that following. It sort of goes hand in hand, really, doesn't it, with the festivals and then coming back and doing another season.
Yeah, Yeah, it certainly does. Yeah, people, I mean, Necrow Flat in the Palace in particular has been a real firm favourite this summer. And it's a very important message.
And more questions need to be answered as well. It's, I suppose it's weird when you do find yourself thinking the people who are speaking the truth were the likes of the ones who they took the mickey out of, like David Icke.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm fond of David Icke.
Yeah. There are, there's a lot. There's a lot going on there. So would you say, in a broad term, you're politically motivated in that respect?
Yes. As human beings, the band was never... I mean, incidentally, the first song we jammed together was called Austerity Language, which was... the lyrics are a dumbed-down, saturated, regurgitated version of the truth. Languishing in love and austerity and all of the above. You must question the age-old script. It's watered down and aloof. I used to thrive on hate, but I couldn't find the proof. So it was all kind of... But it was just a natural talking point for us as individuals. There was never any... never any plan as such to be a kind of political driving force and to spread the message. It was just, it's very, we truly believe what we're doing, that when you're on stage, you have to be entirely working on the basis of complete and utter conviction. You have to believe
yourself.
Just believe wholeheartedly in what you're doing, and there should be no way that you can kind of be pulled apart if you're doing something that, as you say, is true to yourself, and you can only truly write about what you know about. And all we ask for is for someone on stage to have complete and utter conviction and to be believable. And when you see acts that are flogging some kind of faux pas niche dead horse that is completely and utterly unbelievable, and then it's very depressing, and there's no room for that in music.
Is it more depressing that there's a market for that sort of thing, though?
A market for what, exactly?
For that sort of music, the non-political music, if you like.
Not such. I mean, all forms of music are, you know, important. If everyone was political, then it wouldn't, you know. And it's not, as I just said, it's... You can only truly write about what you know about, so it has to be relative to who you are as an individual. There is a genuine, I believe, a counterculture of young, politically minded individuals, and I truly believe there's, you know, positive change and positive discussion at least on the horizon. But you know, that equally there's room for Duran Duran and ABBA, you know, great pop songs. That it, you know, if you are truly stuck up about someone from the other sex who you've possibly had sex with and then stopped having sex with them, and if that's what you want to write about and that's what's true to you, then that serves a purpose.
It's true to you. Look, we are being hurried up. You're a busy man. You're on stage fairly soon as well, though, aren't you? You're in the Laundry Meadow stage.
I believe so.
Thanks for the reminder. The best way people find out about you, because if I Google the word cabbage, I'm going to get a number of things, including recipes.
Yeah, I think the hairy dieters have got cabbage roll or something like that. I guess you could stick band on the end of there. And just be very careful what you read in terms of, you know, certain publications are, you know, reliable and others aren't. And also, we've got a new EP out.
You've got to plug your EP.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm hopeless at this. The EP of Cruelty, and it's got on it a celebration of a disease, Fraudulent Artist, which is just a stained song. It's great. A Network Betrayal, Trinken, and oh, how could I forget, last but certainly not least, it's Ace Amorley.
Brilliant. Look, thanks for so much
it's
for talking to us.
On a cassette form, vinyl, CD, I believe. It's got some
streaming platforms.
Yeah, I'll be on. Yeah, but we'd prefer it if you if you bought it.
Give
us your money.
Look, thanks for talking to us, and
Thank you, Steve.
Looking forward to seeing you on the Laundry Meadows stage.
Endeavour to listen to Phoenix FM next time I'm in the area.
Great stuff.
Thank you very much. Cheers, man.